What's good, everyone? My name is Jacob Moses. I'm the community builder at Strongtowns, and welcome to another episode of It's the Little Things, a Strongtowns podcast where in each episode, we focus on a different action that you, the concerned citizen, the elected official, the city planner, can take to make your town stronger. This episode's action, creating a vision block for your neighborhood. Everyone has a vision for their neighborhood. We walk the block and notice intersections where we'd sure love a crosswalk. Peer into vacant storefronts, envisioning a corner store or coffee shop. And once again, remind our council people if they can replace the streetlights. We see the potential of the neighborhood and how, with a little public investment and community support, it could shine. Yet often, our vision remains a pipe dream. This episode's guest, Strongtowns advocate and Louisville resident Sean Riley, had felt the same as he walked along Bardstown Road, a major corridor in his neighborhood. It had the bones of a productive neighborhood. Sidewalks, Main Street-style developments, a handful of core advocates, yet lacked a short list of investment to transform it into a place people wanted to be. That's why Sean and his neighbors at the Bardstown Road Improvement Group created a vision block, a one-day event where they showcased how a series of small bets, think DIY crosswalks, pop-up shops, and street trees, could boost the neighborhood. In this episode, Sean shares the story behind the vision block, and how, with nothing more than an observant eye and a group of fellow advocates, you can demonstrate your vision of a more productive, enjoyable neighborhood. Enjoy. Sean, what's going on, friend? How are you today?
I'm doing well, Jacob. Thanks for having me.
Yes, so excited to have you on the podcast. I know you and I have had some time to get to know each other offline over the past week or so, and you guys are doing some really exciting work, so happy to have you on the podcast. I know you're based in Louisville. I know this is a time of uncertainty for many of us in our neighborhoods with the coronavirus and how it's just, you know, disrupting daily lives, trying to find a new routine in this unusual time. How are you and your peers doing in Louisville?
We are doing well. We've got, you know, pretty much not the full-fledged stay-at-home order, but, you know, it's pretty much guidelines to stay at home. All of non-essential businesses are shut down. Everybody's trying to work from home. And then also, you know, we have a great park system here in Louisville. Olmsted, you know, Frederick Law Olmsted designed some of our parks here, and the Olmsted Brothers firm designed some parks. So we have a great park network that is, you know, really helping keep people sane during this, you know, troubling time so that people can get out and enjoy the fresh air and enjoy the, you know, the nature. You can only sit in your house and work, do Zoom meetings so long, and then you need to get out and go to a park. So we're lucky to have the Olmsted Park System here in Louisville.
Good. I'm so happy to hear it. And this morning I was spending some time on your organization's website, which we're going to talk more about today, the Bardstown Road Improvement Group. And I read this fantastic post that y'all put together. I think it was titled, like, 36 Ways to Be an Awesome Highlands Neighbor During the Coronavirus. So I can tell that this is an active conversation you guys are having and still making sure that we're looking out for each other and embracing all the good things that come from neighborliness during this time. It's a really inspiring post.
Yeah, absolutely. So that, you know, that post, you know, you always talk about what's the littlest thing, you know, you can do to improve your neighborhood, improve your community. And so it's, yeah, there's nothing on there that, you know, big, huge, ground-changing thing like the, you know, giant stimulus package the government's doing. It's a lot of little things that everybody can do to, you know, to really help each other. You know, whether it's just leaving some hand sanitizer on your doorstep for the Amazon delivery guy, or just, you know, talking with an elderly neighbor and seeing if they need help getting their groceries. So it's little things.
Yeah, and listeners, if you're curious, I'll make sure to include that link in the show notes below. We'll maybe catch themes from that post in this episode, but got a whole nother action to discuss today, and that is creating a vision block for your neighborhood. And Sean, admittedly, this was a new term for me, vision block, but I looked it up, read about it on y'all's website, and y'all describe it as an opportunity to showcase one area in the community could look like with community support and public investment. And it's a fantastic action that people can take. And as listeners are going to learn today, one that really includes several of the core Strongtowns principles that we discuss, whether it's, you know, looking for small bets, you know, as we're walking around our community, recognizing where it struggles, where it shines, and in the former, just considering that next small thing we can do to make it a more prosperous place. You guys have done a fantastic job of this and really excited to dig into it today. But before we get into all the good stuff, Sean, I want to take a moment to learn just a little bit more about you and your place. Could you tell us a little bit about your neighborhood, the Highlands neighborhood in Louisville, and maybe reflect a little bit on that moment in your own life where, you know, maybe there's a shift in perspective where you started to notice where the Highlands shines, where struggles end, where you fit, and maybe making it a more prosperous place. Could you reflect on that story for us?
Yeah. So the Highlands in Louisville is, some people may describe it as eclectic or weird or community, you know, centered or liberal or whatever. But the Highlands, it really is an old neighborhood in Louisville. My house was built in 1906. We still have some old streetcar neighborhoods here as well. But really, you know, the Highlands is kind of a part of town in Louisville that is, this road, Barton Road, runs through the center of 13 neighborhoods. And, you know, each neighborhood's a little bit different than the other. Each one has its own unique characteristics to it. Some of the neighborhoods, you know, we have pretty wide range of incomes. We have a pretty good number of renters. There's a part of the Highlands called Cherokee Triangle that is, you know, these beautiful old Victorian houses and mansions that have been converted into, you know, either multifamily or apartments. And that area was actually featured somewhat in F. Scott Fitzgerald, The Great Gatsby. Came to Louisville and, you know, saw these big old mansions. And the story is that Daisy lived in one of those mansions. And so then you have other parts of the Highlands that are definitely much more working class, you know, smaller, some shotgun houses, some American Four Squares, and just, you know, really great neighborhood, safe streets, pretty good sidewalks. We have several schools in the Highlands. And then we have, you know, a whole host of churches. There's, you know, several churches located throughout here. But just, you know, really, really great neighborhood and, you know, been around for a long time.
So what was that process like for you moving to the Highlands? Had you always been, you know, an advocate for the neighborhood, looking for opportunities for it to improve? Or were there some recent developments where you kind of felt the need to take action, get some folk together and have some more targeted interventions in your community?
Right. So I actually have lived in the Highlands for about 10 years now and lived in another neighborhood of the Highlands called the Upper Highlands. And I now live in a part of the Highlands called Tyler Park. And we've been here since 2015. And over that, you know, over the past 5 years, there has definitely been kind of a shift in the commercial corridor that is, you know, really the backbone of the neighborhoods here, where we saw more businesses closing, more vacant storefronts. We saw, you know, kind of an increase in things like panhandling and, you know, uptick in, you know, kind of petty crime. That, and combined with people not walking as much as they used to. People were, you know, I can remember 10 years ago, people, there'd just be, the streets would be packed with people walking. We were kind of wondering what's, you know, what was going on and what was causing that. And so that's kind of what got everybody interested. There's a string of businesses that closed, and we're getting together trying to figure out what can we do to help the road flourish again. And so we, you know, formed a really loose-knit group of neighbors for our first meeting. I just said, hey, I put it up on this app called Nextdoor and put it up on Facebook and said, if anybody's interested in discussing the problems that you see going on with Barson Road, meet me at a Qdoba, which is kind of located right in the center of all the neighborhoods. And about 30 people showed up that evening, and we just kind of did a brainstorming session about like what we saw was wrong, and came up with a list of, you know, 30 plus things that everybody wanted to change on Barton Road.
I'm glad folk were brainstorming. So give listeners a mental image of what this block looks like. If I came to visit Louisville, maybe I hop on the bike. I'm not flying much these days, but I hop on the bike, make my way up to Louisville eventually. And we're taking a walk down this stretch of Bardstown Road that you and your peers wanted, just brainstorming some ways to make it a little bit better. What am I seeing on that block? Am I seeing a lot of like the traditional development pattern that we talk about as strong towns? Am I seeing mostly large parking lots? What's this place look like?
Well, so you're actually going to see a mix of that. So the whole all of Barton Road, it's about a 3-mile commercial corridor, and you know there is still a lot of traditional development where you have the storefronts right at the sidewalk. And, you know, it's very, very walkable. And then you have some areas where the city let, you know, some fast food companies come in and you have these stretches of curb cuts where you've got drive-through fast food restaurants next to maybe a more traditional business that has their store right up to the street, essentially. And then you're going to maybe see some large parking lots where something has been demolished and you've got this like vast parking lot. Kind of in front of a development that's set back some. So it really is a mix of all those things and it doesn't always blend well.
But also it has some great opportunities
intervention. Yeah. There's a lot of opportunity to make it better. And that's what we saw is if we could highlight, you know, what we saw was going on with, you know, the vacant storefronts and the lack of, you know, street trees. And you know, try and do some things to encourage the city to make some investments in this part of town. That was really, you know, really our goal.
Let's talk more about how you collected some of these ideas that everyone brainstormed, and then ended up translating this into a project with the Vision Block. What was that process like? You know, you had gathered your neighbors. They obviously care about their place. They're observing where it struggles and want to do something about that. How did this I imagine. Crazy moment of lots of crazy ideas happening simultaneously into Qdoba in the middle of town turn into this Vision Block project that y'all put together.
Right. So our first meeting, we didn't even have a name. We just said, let's get together and meet and talk about this. And so then at the end of that meeting, we said, okay, when do we want to meet again? So we set another meeting for 2 weeks. So we said, okay, well, let's meet again in 2 weeks and let's talk. Let's, you know, keep talking about this. Let's see what we want to do. And then that kind of snowballed into, you know, we started meeting very regularly. And from there, the city had planned to do this thing in town that they do once a year. And it's an event called Cycluvia. And what Cycluvia is where the city will pick a street to shut down to vehicular traffic. And it is only open for pedestrians. And it's typically on a Sunday. They had one of those planned for Barton Road. And our first action was, okay, well, let's set up an informational booth. At this event, there's, you know, thousands of people walking the street. And let's ask people, what do they love about Barton Road in the Highlands? And then what would they change? And then also asking people to sign up to get involved with us, to volunteer. And at this point, we didn't even have a project in mind yet, but we knew we wanted to do something. We weren't sure what yet. And we thought, well, if the more people get involved, the more ideas we'll have, and the more input we can get, that will then lead us to, you know, a project that we want to tackle.
So let's flash forward to the day they all actually made this Vision Block happen. I can totally just picture this trajectory of this group. You know, you guys have been observing your place, meeting up just to, you know, just talk freely about what you want to see done. Got some great feedback from this bicycling event, and now actually going for the big shebang, giving opportunity to showcase really what all these ideas could look like in person. Could you define Vision Block and then elaborate a bit on what this actually looked like in action?
Some of your listeners may know what we did as a Better Block. That's another term people use. After, you know, another brainstorming session, we said, okay, well, let's do a Better Block or a Vision Block. And at the same time, I was enrolled in a neighborhood leadership class with a group here in Louisville called the Center for Neighborhoods. And they actually had done some Better Blocks or Vision Blocks in some other parts of town. And so as part of my work with them, they helped us to kind of get this started and guiding us. But really what we wanted to do, we surveyed all of Barton Road and we found absolutely The block that needed the most help or the most attention, and this was a block that had the most vacant storefronts. It was a block that had the biggest problem with panhandling and some petty crime. It was a block that had the least amount of street trees. And so really, you know, our goal was to take this one block, and everything that we had been talking about was wrong. We wanted to make it right for one weekend. This team of, you know, 50, 60 volunteers, a really, really great group of people. We had everybody from, you know, Tom, who was an exercise science professor at a local university. He had gotten a walkability grant, and he was really interested in helping to highlight some walkability aspects that we could improve upon, to, you know, a couple other neighborhood leaders like Megan and Caroline, to really show what we could do. And then we had some really passionate people about with trees and street trees who wanted to show how many street trees we could get, you know. So that was, you know, a guy named Josh was really passionate about Highland street trees. So we broke our teams up into three different teams. So we had our retail team, we had our trees team, and then we had like a traffic and safety team. And so, you know, we brought in 25 live, large Christmas trees that were about 10 foot tall, and place those in bourbon barrels, because, you know, we're in Kentucky, so we've got to have bourbon involved, and place all of those street trees in locations where, per the city's guidelines, there could be a street tree. And really to highlight, you know, to the city, hey, you know, this is what your guidelines say where a tree could be. This is what we want to do. And just on this one block, like I said, there was, you know, 25 opportunities for some new trees. We then you know, found a vacant storefront, and it wasn't hard to do because there was a lot of opportunity in that block for vacant properties. And we found an old laundromat and a scooter store that used to sell Vespas. And this had a front parking lot, a side parking lot, and a building kind of in the center. And we turned the parking lot of this vacant property into pop-up retail. We brought in 10 retailers for the event and set that up, and, you know, to really highlight, like, hey, this is this, you know, dead space here. Look what happens when we can activate and showcase, you know, when we invite people in and have different retailers, what it can be like. The other thing we did is I really wanted to show the city how we could improve pedestrian safety to really encourage more people to walk. Something I didn't mention before about this road, Bardstown Road is the only road in the country that has both on-street parking and a system of lane switch lights that allows for the road to become a highway twice a day. So in the morning, this road is a highway leading into town of three lanes. So Bardstown is a four-lane road. And in the morning, it's turned into a three-lane highway going into downtown with, you know, one lane going the other direction. And then in the afternoon, it's turned into a four-lane highway and with three lanes going out of downtown. And then during those times, there's no on-street parking is allowed. And so you can just imagine the confusion for visitors from out of town who are parking to go to a shop or a restaurant, and at 4 o'clock rolls around and all of a sudden their car is towed and they're wondering, you know, what's going on. Or you're driving down this road and you're new to Louisville and you don't know what's happening. All of a sudden you are faced with a very scary potential head-on collision. We wanted to show the city that, you know, one, we want that system changed, but also how dangerous it is for pedestrians, and how, you know, if we can make these improvements, we can get more people out walking and shopping again. And so the other thing we did is wanted to showcase some crosswalk improvements. And we found, you know, a great opportunity for a crosswalk where we could use some homemade curb bump outs that we created with bales of hay and traffic cones to create, you know, these curb bump outs to slow the traffic at these intersections, and then, you know, really increase pedestrian safety. You know, we did these things, and this test went for a full day, and, you know, we had people monitoring the crosswalks, you know, kind of keeping track and taking notes, and then also getting feedback from pedestrians that we could then turn that over to the city to say, hey, like, people really like this. We need to make this happen.
Fantastic. And what I found particularly inspiring about this story, Sean, was that you kind of gave a model for what a strong town's approach to public investment would look like whenever we're making a bunch of small bets to try to create a better place. I know, if I recall correctly, the city of Louisville had already had an existing plan to do some kind of infrastructure work here. Is that correct?
Right, right. So yeah, the city had a plan, and they have a plan. It's been on the shelves to do some of the things that we were asking them to do. But, you know, like a lot of cities, you know, plans sometimes will just sit on a shelf. Pretty much a lot of what we did for our vision block, we took from the city's own playbook and to show them, like, this is what you guys say can be done, and this is what's in your plan. This is what it looks like when it is done. And so let's, you know, let's make it happen.
And that there's something that we can do today. You know, let's not wait to do some kind of traffic study. We don't need to count how many pedestrians walk through this particular intersection over 90 days.
Yeah, and I know the city has ways that they can make some of this happen without spending a ton of money. You know, one of the simplest things they could do would be to lift the parking restrictions and, you know, make, you know, get rid of the, you know, the crazy lane switch light system. You know, they could do that, you know, for virtually no cost at all. Just turn the system off and let people park now. Yeah. And so those are some things we're asking. Now, we did have, you know, really big success that day, the day of our vision block. The mayor of Louisville, Mayor Greg Fisher, actually came and to check out the work we had been doing, because we had to coordinate with them to get approval to do a lot of the things we did. And then we coordinated with the state of Kentucky to get approval because, you know, Barson Road, it's a state-owned road. The city manages it. So we had two layers of government approval we needed to get. And so the mayor, you know, he'd heard about this. We had actually requested for him to come to show him, you know, what we were doing and what we were asking. And, to his credit, he came. We were able to show him what the pop-up retail looked like and what that vacant property could look like if it was activated. We were able to show him, you know, just the, like I said, just the street trees, how many street trees we were able to fit in one block. And so if you think about how many street trees we did, you know, 25, you know, for a 3-mile road, you know, we're talking hundreds and hundreds of potential street trees that we could do and have, you know, fully tree lined commercial corridor would just be spectacular for the city here. And then, you know, also showing him, you know, what the curb bump outs look like, what it looks like when, you know, pedestrians only have to cross two lanes of traffic instead of having to jump over, you know, four lanes of traffic. He was pretty receptive, but, you know, again, he wanted the city to fund another traffic study. And I think most of us were kind of at that point wanting to move forward and not, you know, not have another study. And I do understand his desire to have that study. But I think that, you know, even if they get the study back, you know, the improvements that we're asking for, you know, it really is going to save lives. This road has averages nine pedestrian accidents a year, vehicle pedestrian crashes a year on average.
Wow. And I think a great takeaway from all of this, Sean, and I'm curious to hear what your response is to this. We can always understand as strong towns why elected officials, folk that are used to reverting to, you know, maybe a traffic study or getting some kind of consulting at first, is because what you and your peers did on the Bardstown Road is incredibly chaotic. Like, imagine walking down this road and seeing Christmas trees in bourbon barrels, DIY crosswalks, hay bales, this pop-up shop. It's chaotic. I've never been anything like this. But what we're seeing is that these are low-cost, low-lift interventions we can make to create a better place. And then thinking about, you know, as strong towns, we always discuss the financial resiliency of places. An essential takeaway from this, listeners, is that the great work that Sean and his peers did, they made this place, of course, a more enjoyable place, a place I'd want to walk around, shop at, using the existing infrastructure that the city had already built. So minimal cost for the city, yet a huge upside when you consider the return. It's a fantastic story. I'm curious to hear from you. What was it like, you know, just witnessing all this beautiful chaos happening? I know people, of course, were receptive, But what were some of the responses like?
Oh, I mean,
people walking among these bourbon barrels and DIY crosswalks and
yeah, I mean, people
hay bales as cutouts.
People loved it. I mean, this area of town is already known as being weird or eclectic, and it really enhanced that. And you know, everybody was very very receptive. To you know, one thing I didn't mention is our Christmas trees were also lit up using solar powered LED lights. You know, for one day. It was a breath of fresh air, and people wanted more of it, and they want all of, you know, Bars on the Road to function like we had it function for that one day, where it's safe, it's walkable, you don't have vehicles flying past you at, you know, 50 miles an hour, you're protected by the curb bump outs and the improved crosswalks. I don't think we got any negative comments at all. Everyone was very, very receptive, and you know, a few people maybe were like, you know, what the heck's going on here? But once we explained it to them, like what we're doing, then they're like, oh, wow, this is, you know, really cool. You know, and a lot of people thanking us for doing this. And it was, you know, like I said, you also said it was low cost. I mean, I think we did all of this for about $2,000. The Center for Neighborhoods that I was enrolled in their 12-week neighborhood class, they gave us a $500 grant. We then did fundraising just amongst our group, and then we had a lot of in-kind donations. And so we just really, you know, the community really pulled together for one day to make this happen. And it, like you said, it was low cost, and we definitely did it on the cheap.
Yeah, I love it. Is there a place online where people can see pictures?
Yeah, absolutely. For your listeners who want to check out the vision block, they can go to biglouisville.org, and I'm sure you'll provide a link to that as well. And you know, we did some pretty fun things. We had they may see pictures of a Grinch. We had somebody dressed as a Grinch, but it was all fun chaos.
Yeah, totally. I love it, Sean. As we wrap up, you've done a fantastic job sharing the story of your group and the great work it's done through its vision block. Of course, has strong tents. These are always the stories that we try to look for and highlight, because again, it just speaks to these core strong tents principles. Let's find a place that, you know, maybe isn't getting, you know, a lot of love, but as we've learned from this story today, has that development pattern where it's likely quite a productive place. It has those buildings butting up against the sidewalk. Sure, there might be some flashes of, you know, quote unquote blight and empty parking lots. But that's just another opportunity to, you know, brainstorm some of these low-cost, low-lift interventions to make better use of these places. So I'm totally inspired, really excited to share this with listeners. I'm curious to hear from you, Sean. What do you think is next? You know, you've done a fantastic job putting this great group together. I know your sights were on Bardstown Road for a bit now. I know you're doing a bunch of stuff beyond the vision block that help people check out in the show notes below. But for the time being, what do you think is next for you all?
Yeah, so, well, we actually are continuing our work of Bars on the Road Improvement Group. We are still looking for projects to do and projects to complete. So one project we are working on now is we are asking the mayor and our local councilman here so we have some of the turns on Bars on the Road. The distance that a car travels when you're making a turn off of the road are very wide, and so we actually did a curb radii study, and we're asking them to make the curbs a little bit tighter so that cars aren't able to zip around the turns at full speed. So that'll, you know, as on the side streets, that'll really improve pedestrian safety. So that's our next project, is trying to get the city to help us decrease speeding as people are rounding turns and going onto the side streets.
Fantastic. A great next project. And then you're running for council.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah. So, you know, kind of really in the midst of all of this, as I was, you know, in the program at Center for Neighborhoods, and then as we were developing this vision block to try, you know, make Bards on the Road safer for everybody, the local Metro councilman here, he decided it was time, you know, he decided to retire. I guess it was late November, he decided that he was not going to run for re-election. And then really, as all this was going on, you know, the work with the neighborhoods that we're doing and the work that we're doing with Bars and Road, it just really felt like a great opportunity to throw my hat into the ring and run for Metro Council. And so one of the things I did, you know, after he announced that he wasn't running again, is I re-listened to your very first podcast about running for local office. And that really gave me kind of the insight to make the decision about, you know, whether or not to do this after talking with my wife and everything. And we decided, you know, hey, it was a great opportunity to take some of the things that we've been working on with Bars and Road Improvement Group and then the neighborhood work I've been doing, take that to City Hall and really try and get some changes and be an advocate for the neighborhood and be an advocate for the work that you guys are doing with Strong Towns. And another thing we did is as we were wrapping up the vision block, everybody that was a project leader for the vision block, we gave them a copy of the Strong Towns book.
Oh, fantastic. I love it. I love it. That's exactly the kind of folk we need. I love it, Sean. And congratulations on your campaign. We're really excited to follow along and just keep up the great work. I know I speak on behalf of the entire Strong Towns team, where we need folk just like you, Sean, and really every guest we've had on this podcast, folk who are willing to humble themselves, observe where their community struggles, and do that next smallest thing to make it a little more prosperous place. So you've done a fantastic job of that, a great model for our listeners, and really look forward to following along. I don't imagine this will be the last time we celebrate some good things happening out of the Highlands.
Yes, I hope not. I hope we can continue, you know, to celebrate the small victories, and then hopefully one day we'll have a really big victory to celebrate when we get you know, Bars and Road to be moved from our vision block to our vision road.
Beautiful. I love it. Well, Sean, thank you. This has been a joy, listeners. I know Sean mentioned several helpful links. I'll put all those goodies in the show notes below. In addition, for the Center for Neighborhoods group, heard a lot of great things about them from Sean and others. So I'll make sure we get that in there. And again, Sean, thank you. This was a joy, and we'll chat very soon.
Thank you, Jacob. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Sean. Enjoy the day.
You too.